David Carroll's website is called Write, Run, Repeat, because that describes how he spends his time. He's a committed marathon runner who also runs ultra marathons. Those could be 50-mile, 100-mile, even longer foot races that can take days to complete. He's been writing for years, too, and this year had his first book published, a novel for older children called Ultra, featuring a 13-year-old boy running his first ultra marathon. Besides David's regime of Write, Run, Repeat, he also produces programs for CBC Radio, and it was so easy to get you to come into the studio as a result. Hi!
Hi, Sheila.
Nice to have you here, and congratulations on the book.
Thank you so much.
What's harder, running a 100-mile race or writing a book?
Oh, that's such a good question. I would say the pain, both involve a lot of pain, right? But I would say that running a 100-mile race, the pain is confined to 24 hours. Whereas with a book, it takes years. And I must say that when the book finally came out, I passed it on to a couple of my nephews. And they devoured it. They read it in about 6 hours.
They were really instigators for this book.
They were instigators. Yeah. But they read it in 6 hours. And I said to them, how dare you? How dare you read that book in 6 hours?
I put my heart and soul.
I spent years writing that book. The least you could do is take a couple of days to read it.
I'm serious about this, because you would tell them, they'd ask you how your run went, and you'd say, oh, you know, it was great. It was this, it was that. But what they wanted to hear from you were stories.
Yeah, I would go running on training runs. And my training runs, when I was preparing for my first 100-miler, would be sort of 7, 8, 9 hours. And I'd disappear into the forest, into the woods. I'd come back sort of 8 hours later, and they'd say, Uncle Dave, you know, what happened? Why were you? They couldn't understand what one would do. And I would just say, oh, you know, I went out running. I just, what did you see? You know, I saw trees, I saw some lakes, and it was just so disappointing to them that I started to invent stories. And then eventually I decided I'm going to sort of put these stories into a little collection and print them up a little sort of book for Christmas. And that's how the book started. And then once I'd done that, I thought, wow, why don't I actually see if this could get published in any way?
Did that sort of desire from them to hear stories from your running, did it make you more observant as you were running?
I would say that it did, yes. Yes, I was always looking for the things that were extraordinary in the woods. I mean, the fact is, when you're in the woods, not a lot of stuff happens.
And sometimes it's at night.
Sometimes it's at night. It's true. But once I was out in the woods and a tree actually fell down, like a tree actually.
Of course, I want to ask you, did you hear it?
Of course, right. I did indeed hear it. But it was just odd to me. Wow, trees actually do fall in the forest when people aren't around. It seemed like a real gift to be there. So I remember that. I've run into a lot of wild animals, and wild animals sort of play a role in the book. But yeah, for sure, I became more attentive definitely to the nature, and all of that stuff was fascinating to my nephews.
Do you see a connection between what you do as an ultramarathoner and as a writer?
I totally do.
What is that connection?
Well, when you run 100 miles in a day, everything else in the world that you do seems a lot easier. You know what I mean? Once you've got that behind you, anything seems possible. And with writing is such an incredible challenge. It really is one of the hardest things in the world to do well. But once you've run 100 miles in a day, actually getting a novel published, it actually seemed that much more doable, you know?
Are you a special body type that allows you to do ultra marathoning more easily than, say, well, this body type?
I don't know about that. I think ultra marathoning it's such a strange sport, and it's definitely not for everyone. And I would certainly not advocate that kids go out and enter ultra marathons. That's not what I wrote this book because I think the ultra marathon is a great setting for an adventure story that kids would be into. But I certainly wouldn't recommend that they do the ultra marathon. I think that I'm uniquely gifted in some ways. And after every race, every time I run one of these ultramarathons, my parents are my biggest fans, and they always come out and they cheer me on, and they're always there at the finish line. And I always hug them, and I thank them, you know, not just for supporting me, you know, emotionally, but also physically. I always thank them for the genetic gifts that they gave me, because I mean, I and all ultramarathoners, we all train hard and we watch what we eat and we get enough sleep and that kind of thing. But ultimately, I think 90% of what goes into running one of these races successfully, I think 90% of it is genetics. I once met, have you heard of Ed Whitlock? Whitlock is one of Canada's greatest runners, and he's 82 years of age. And at the age of 70, he ran a marathon in 3 hours. Mm-hmm. And I once met him. He was once on a radio show that I produced. And I remember saying to him, Ed, what is your secret? Is it training or is it your running shoes? And he turned to me, this rather grizzled fellow, and he said, David, it's just genetics. That's all it is. That's the secret. I think there's some truth in that.
In the case of your hero, Quinn, he has a bigger heart.
Yes.
And he can pump more blood more easily. And he doesn't produce the lactic acid that will paralyze his legs as he's trying to run.
That's right. That terrible pain that you feel in your legs when you run really hard, that comes from the lactic acid. Yes, Quinn has some extraordinary gifts. I thought it'd be much more fun to give the main character some superpowers, you know, to give him more of a credible reason for running this race. Of course, he's running it for a number of reasons, but the fact that he is uniquely gifted, I think, makes it that much more appealing to kids.
I think it's also very nice that he has a big heart.
Yes.
I mean, that's a lovely thing, too. And he does.
He doesn't know that he does initially, but
yeah,
he comes to that realization.
To tell the story, you use the conceit of a television interviewer interviewing Quinn because he is such an amazing ultra marathoner. Why did you want to use the interview as the way you would hook the story through?
It's the Oprah treatment is what it is. And I actually think there's a lot of really boring details about running. I mean, I hang out with my runner friends and we talk and talk and talk about lactate threshold and training routines and all these crazy types of runs and hill training and all the types of nutrition things that we do. It's so boring, Sheila. It's so boring. But so I didn't, and yet I needed to get a lot of that information into the book somehow, sort of to decipher what goes into this kind of a run. And so having that interviewer sort of help frame some of that material and play that character who wanted to know but also said, okay, enough of that. Give me the details, but now let's move it on. Let's move on the story. So it made it easy to get that kind of detail in while keeping the story moving.
In the afterword, you do write about your nieces and nephews and so on and the scary woods. What do your nieces and nephews think of what you do?
They think I'm crazy. I think that kids think it's an absolutely crazy challenge. And I think that actually most adults think it's an absolutely outrageous challenge. And most people, when I tell them about this, they don't actually believe that such races even exist. And yet I think the idea of somebody who can run, I mean, kids love running. It's just something that comes natural to them. So I think that while the 100-mile race is sort of this very mysterious and fascinating thing, and the idea of running at night in the woods is really a fascinating and somewhat terrifying prospect, I think it's something that they instinctively understand and have an affinity for.
What is it like? What is the experience of running 100 miles like?
Oh my gosh. It's so hard and painful and miserable and depressing and euphoric. On the one hand, there's so much pain. I can't describe the amount of pain. I was once running with a guy named Pablo, and I've never seen Pablo again, but he and I ran a good 20 miles together in one of my ultramarathons, and he and I were in terrible shape, and he was having real hip problems, and we were in the middle of a race, like somewhere we'd run 62 miles or something, and I'll never forget. We were just complaining about it. And Pablo turned to me and he said, "It's okay, Dave. It's okay. Pain equals learning." And then at some point I lost him and he ran off. And I saw him towards the end of the race and we both were even worse than we'd been before. And he said, "David, we must be geniuses by now. We've learned so much." So there is that, you know.
Was he real? Or did you hallucinate him?
He was a real character, a real person, not a hallucination. We'll get to the hallucinations. I'm happy to tell you about those. So that's the pain side of it. But the other side of it is the euphoria that you feel. I mean, I find it is such a privilege to be out in a forest, out in the middle of nowhere, in the middle of the night, surrounded by all of that beauty, in a body that is actually healthy enough to do this? I mean, it's such an incredible gift, especially on these courses where you know that 5 miles, you know, ahead of you and 5 miles behind you, there are people looking out for you. So it's relatively safe. Yes, there are dangers. Yes, there are, you know, bears and those kinds of things around, but generally you're safe. So, and the euphoria when you cross the finish line, oh, there's nothing like it.
In the book, there are older runners as well. Quinn is 13. Is there an age limit to this kind of running? Is it safe for you to keep on doing physically?
Well, I think that it's, I asked a doctor once when I was running. They always have medics on site. And I remember I once asked a doctor, because I was feeling really proud of myself and I was, you know, doing pretty well. In the middle of the night, I asked the doctor, do you think that this is really safe, what we're doing? And she looked at me and she said, no, I don't really think it's safe. You know, I think for some people, some body types, it's not going to harm people. And I think in general, if you do one a year, it's not really that big a deal.
And kids, for kids?
I certainly don't advocate it for kids. And obviously it's something that you wouldn't do without, you know, getting in touch with your family doctor and certainly only kids that have an interest. You wouldn't want to, you know, force kids into doing this kind of thing. But I will say that there are some kids who are capable of extraordinary things. So we know that, I mean, Annalise Carr swam across Lake Ontario at the age of 14 a couple of years ago. And more recently, there's a kid out in Charlottetown. His name's Tyler Heggie. He ran a marathon, the Charlottetown Marathon, in I think it was 2 years ago at the age of 9. And then based on that success, this year, this summer, he ran the equivalent of a marathon each and every day for 7 days. He ran Prince Edward Island from tip to tip in support of the MS Foundation, I think it was. But he did it surrounded by his family, you know, with the support, just because he loves doing it. So I think for kids who love doing it, you know, it's a fine thing. But, you know, obviously you want to have proper supervision. And no, to answer your question, ultra marathons generally don't allow kids under the age of 18, and certainly not without parental, you know, support.
Okay, hallucinations,
yeah.
Trail demons.
Yeah.
What happens? What have you seen?
Well, you know, I didn't think that I had a book in me until I was running one of these races, you know, 3 or 4 years ago. And in the middle of the night, after running about 82 miles, out of the darkness in front of me, I saw a grand piano toddle across the trail in front of me. And it was the most surreal thing. And I knew instantly what it was. I knew that it was a hallucination, which is basically just the brain, you know, operating at a deficit. You know, you expend 10,000 calories in the course of running 100 miles. And so you just don't, and there's no way you can get that many calories back into your body over the course of a race. So eventually the brain just runs out of fuel and it tries to make sense of its surroundings, and it often fails in spectacular ways. So yes, I've seen some, I saw in my most recent ultramarathon, I saw a giant marble statue of a rabbit. And it was quite beautiful. And I ran towards it. And then I suddenly realized, oh, that's not a giant marble statue of a rabbit. That's actually just a tree. Because that's all there were. I was out in the middle of the forest. So it's quite something. These kinds of things happen. And they're kind of fun.
I would love to hallucinate.
Well, it was a great opening, you know, really for the story, right? It allowed me to sort of bring in some more supernatural elements to the story, which are kind of true to the experience.
You also bring in some girls.
Yeah.
Is it fun to write girls?
I love writing girls. You're talking about Kneecap.
Kneecap.
Yeah. Yeah. She's my favorite character. Well, I have, and I credit in the book, I have 40 some odd nieces and nephews. And so some of the most powerful characters in my real life are my nieces. But I will also say that I know some extraordinary female ultra marathoners. And some of the stories come, you know, from real life. I want to point out that I ran this ultra marathon a couple of weeks ago. And there's a woman who ran the race, and her name is Laura Perry. And early in the race, at around the 35, this is early in the race, 35 miles in or so. So she'd been running for about 6 hours or so. Early in the race, she was running down the trail, and she came across a bear. And it was a large bear, large black bear, because it was in Ontario. And generally, black bears are fraidy cats. You know, you just yell at them and they run away. Well, she yelled at this bear. She's encountered bears before. The bear did not run away. She threw sticks at the bear. The bear walked towards her. she eventually, there was nothing she could do. The bear was continuing to advance. She was slowly backing up. Eventually, she actually had to lie down on the trail and curl up in a fetal position. The bear proceeded to nudge her and sniff her and walk around her for the next 4 minutes. Then the bear got bored. The bear wandered away. Laura Perry got up and she won the race.
Wow.
She went on to win the race. So, I mean, some of the women, in fact, like I know so many women ultramarathoners who have really helped me to become the runner that I am now. And they've been so inspirational. And so I hope I put a little bit of that into the characters. I mean, there's Kneecap, but then there's also Kara, who sort of guides Quinn through many miles of the race.
What is the message you want to express in this book? What do you want kids to get out of it?
Oh, there are two things. First of all, I hope it's just like a ripping good adventure.
Yeah, and it's not a message hit you over the head kind of book. Okay?
But I would say
hit myself over the head with it.
But I would say that the other thing that I want to leave kids with that they'll take away is that not that anything is possible, but that every one of us is capable of something extraordinary. You know, I was not a runner as a kid. I was not sporty at all as a kid. I think I was like 30 or 35 when I started running. And then I slowly but surely discovered, hey, this is sort of my thing, you know? And I never would have dreamed that I'd be running 100-mile races. Believe me, if I can do this, then anybody can find that thing that they're extraordinary. And as long as you stick with that thing, once you find what it is, just stick with it. And you will find that you are capable of extraordinary things as well.
It's a beautiful book.
Thank you.
David Carroll is the author of Ultra, and he joined me in our Toronto studio. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Sheila.